This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting today's service. Please stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for information on ordering tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon. We thank you for joining us this day and invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
The Bible teaches that there is only one mediator between God and man, that person being Christ Jesus. What does that really mean? That's what we're going to talk about in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you that because you are our Father, we can come to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And there we can make our requests known. There we can sing our praises unto you. There we can cry out for the forgiveness of our sins. We need to go to no one but to Jesus Christ alone. Help us to understand the importance and the power of this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends in Christ, the Reformation is an event in church history which dates back to the 16th century. Martin Luther and John Calvin were two of the most prominent names in this Reformation event. The basic teaching, the primary teaching in the Reformation is that humans are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. It is faith in Christ alone that we can live in a relationship with God. We do not contribute anything ourselves. Christ has done it all. Here we are assured that in Christ the believers walk with Jesus, and He is at our side at all time. And then when we die, we go to our heavenly home. While this is the primary teaching of the Reformation, and that's what we talked about last week, there is still a lot more that came out of the Reformation. In this sermon, we talk about the universal priesthood of all believers and that there is only one mediator between God and humans. Now, St. Paul writes this to Timothy when he says, "This is good and it pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all people." Now we can also go to a text that is very closely akin to it, where St. Peter, in his first letter, chapter 2, verse 9, says, "We are a chosen race." Now notice this, a royal priesthood. In Christ Jesus, we are priests. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. A mediator is one who mediates between two people who are at variance and brings them together. Jesus Christ is that one, the only mediator, who takes our side and stands with us before God. Through His sacrificial death and His resurrection, Jesus pleads our case before the Father. He is our great high priest, our advocate. There is no other mediator before God for the sinful human being. This teaching of humans having only one mediator had been lost to the church. At the time of Martin Luther, they lived with this idea that there were many people who were mediators. And Luther found this to be contrary to the scriptures. How do we explain all of this? And I think that Dr. George Farrell, professor emeritus at the University of Iowa, explains it as well as anyone can. What happens among believers that causes us to get so far away from what the scriptures actually say? Well, you know, through the years, you can adopt practices. And sometimes you hardly know that you're doing it. And then these practices become traditions. And they can become, later on, dogma. And these dogma can have the same authority as that which is taught in the scriptures. Where is it revealed in the scriptures that there are many mediators between God and man? Nowhere. But if you get to look at the church at the time of Calvin and Luther, you find that they were not teaching that. For example, there were priests, and then there were bishops, and then there were popes. And they could mediate for us. You know, we have some of that today. Real often, I think, often in jests, but people will say, "Reverend, I hope that you will say a good word for me before the Father tonight." What does that man mean? Well, that I, because I am an ordained pastor in the church, have some particular kind of power, or I've been elevated somehow, that I am in more direct relationship with God than the average believer. That is not true. there is one mediator between God and man, and that is Jesus Christ alone. So when I have something on my chest, or every day when I need to come to Him, I come to God, my Heavenly Father, the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who holds the whole world in His hands. And there's that tremendous thought. He listens to me through the mediator who has made me right with Him, that person being Jesus Christ. And so, when you are a believer in Jesus Christ, in one sense of the word, according to the scriptures, you become a priest. So Paul says that, or Peter says, that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. There are not just lay and priests and bishops and popes, and each one has an elevated position. Not according to evangelical theology after the Reformation. In Protestant thought, there is a laity and there is a clergy. The clergy is simply set apart. He is called by God, or she is called by God, and then they are theologically trained until they understand the scriptures, at least in part, who knows some of the theology of what has happened in the church over 2,000 years of history. And then they go to a flock of people, and there they are servants, servants of Almighty God, coming to preach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ on a particular Sunday, called to go into their homes, to their beds by those who are sick and dying, go to the homes where someone has died, where there is terrible conflict, and in the name of Jesus Christ, as a servant of His and another sinner, minister to them with the teaching of the Word of God. That's our understanding on the basis of Scripture, what a pastor really is. There is only one mediator, and that mediator is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Sometimes, and I know this is just a picture, and it may be filled with all kinds of errors, yet I cannot find them. Let's imagine that we have died, and we stand in the presence of God. If He saw me as a natural born person, created in His image, true, but fallen in sin, He could only say, "Away from me, for I am a holy God, and I cannot have anything to do with sin." And as He is in the process of denouncing me, then the mediator, my Savior, who I have known and loved, steps in as my great high priest, my arbitrator. And He says, "Father, He has received me. I claim Him with my righteousness. He is forgiven. He belongs to us." And the Father says, "Enter in to the heavenly home." That is a terribly poor picture, perhaps, because it is using human words. It goes far beyond what we're able to comprehend. But it is simply given to you in order that we might understand that there is one mediator. Therefore, we talk about the role of the hierarchy in Protestantism. And it is using the word hierarchy in a very loose way. Perhaps some, because of the traditional background, could think that the pastor is some kind of a holy man. And pray to God that he is. But so are some of the other people in the church, holy men and women. Therefore, the clergy person is never elevated above anybody else. In his ordination, he or she are set aside to do the work of the Holy Spirit in bringing the message of Jesus Christ to the world. During my years that I had an opportunity to serve two wonderful congregations, it was a joy to be a pastor. It was a joy to be the recipient of their love. It was thrilling to see the respect that they had for the message that I brought to them. That when I could look them in the face and say, on the basis of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. What a joy to be a spokesman for God, not a mediator, but one as a priest saying to another priest, your sins are forgiven. What a joy it was to be respected, not necessarily because you were so much. You were nothing, save in Christ Jesus. But you represented him, and they respected you for the same reason. This is a vast difference that comes out of the Reformation. Because you see, the church, according to this understanding of Scripture, that there is one mediator, and that is Jesus Christ, means that it is Christ who binds us together. That is a church. It is not bound together by certain organizations or by certain people who have been given real responsibilities. No, it is people who know the Savior well. They bind themselves together, and they are a holy nation. So you may ask the question, well, what do you do with a hierarchy? What do you do with your pastor? And on the basis of the Word of God and the Reformation theology that we live with, we say, receive him as another one who has been given a holy job and has a holy message. Respect him, love him, care for him financially and in every way. That moves on then to the idea of a bishop. For many years in the denomination that I am a part of, we had no bishops. We had presidents only, the president of the synod, the president of the district. And then more ecclesiastical vocabulary was used, and the results were that we had bishops. I have had some wonderful bishops. I have good bishops today. They've always been helpful to me. They have been respectful of my work, and I pray that I have of their work. They have guided whenever we were asking for guidance, and often their guidance was very good. Sometimes the problem was above their understanding, and they, together with us, shrugged shoulders and said, let's do the best we can. I have a great admiration for those who serve in the office of bishop. It's a hard job. Like one fellow said, sometimes lay people can get difficult to deal with. But you haven't seen anything until you deal with a group of unruly pastors. So, we have to remember that they're there, and they want a service, and they've been charged to try to keep order in the church. And that's a very difficult thing to do. But they understand, as I've heard my bishop say often, I have no special power. They understand that they are simply servants of the church at large. And so what we expect to happen as far as pastors are concerned in the congregation, so in like manner, we should do for those who are our bishops among the congregation. Are sometimes their decisions wrong? Yes, they are. Are sometimes their viewpoints quite different from ours? Yes, they are. For they are not infallible. They are not elevated. They have no special insights into the Word of God that are not also there for the lay person and the clergyman, a clergywoman the same. We are all together in the family of God, a holy nation, one whom God uses in this world to bring the gospel. This is a great teaching that comes from the Reformation. There is one mediator, Jesus Christ, and we are all priests when Jesus Christ is our Savior. Amen.
He lived and died.
Father in heaven, we thank you that we can come directly to you through the merits of Jesus Christ, and that by knowing him as our Savior and our Lord, we too are priests, a part of the priesthood of all believers. And so today we pray for one another. We respect one another. We love and care for one another, even though sometimes our opinions can be different. Grant, O God, that it may be the spirit of love that prevails through this institution called the Church. And while we realize that it is Jesus Christ alone who binds us together, there are differences in the family of God. We simply pray that we may be found true to the Bible, and in that light, we may truly love one another. Bless those who are sick. We remember, O God, those who are suffering, dying, mourning the loss of a loved one, concerned about a departed loved one from the faith. Lord Jesus, draw us closer to one another, for we ask it in your name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray that today's sermon has brightened your day and strengthened your walk with Jesus. There are many ways you can help Christian Crusaders spread the gospel. For instance, a gift of $100 or more will sponsor 1 week's broadcast on the station to which you listen. Please call our office for more information on becoming a broadcast sponsor. Today's service is also available to be read or heard on the Internet. Please visit our website at christiancrusaders.org. You will find today's sermon and hundreds of past sermons to enjoy all over again. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's service are available by writing to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613, or call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Conducting today's service was our radio speaker, Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 72nd year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.